Right then, I'll get going. So thank you all for coming to see me today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Debbie Eisen, and I'm a therapist who is trained in about 10 different therapies. And that is because everybody that I work with is completely unique. We've all had our own upbringing, lifestyle, beliefs and values. Therefore, everybody needs a completely individualized and personalized approach. I'm also a therapy trainer, so I train hypnotherapists, I train past life regression therapists, and I train Reiki practitioners. And the reason I do that is because I think there's a lot of people that are in need, and I can only see so many people a week. So I think the more people that can be trained to a really high standard, the more people that can be helped and supported. And that's also why I love doing these talks. I like to explain about the different techniques that I use and the different ways of working, because it might plant a seed or it might just be the thing that somebody in here needs to hear to help them shift and make the next step in their progress and in their journey. I very much believe that when we're working with an individual, we are a holistic being. So we are mental, we are emotional, we are physical, social, energetic, and spiritual. And different people need work on different levels. So today, what I'm going to be focusing on is very much the mind. However, the mind and the body are completely interconnected. When we have a thought, it releases hormones. Those hormones then have an impact on the body. So if we're feeling great, everything tends to flow, our energy works, our body works. If, however, we've got stresses, blockages, and traumas, they release, come on in, cortisol, adrenaline, which tends to then suppress the immune system and cause aches and pains if we've suffered for a prolonged period. So I think working with the mind is very important and very powerful for creating a positive shift, not only in the mind, but also the whole well-being of an individual. And today I've chosen to speak about inner conflict. Most of us don't really like conflict. Most of us in our day-to-day life avoid conflict. If we know somebody's angry at us or annoyed at us, we will try and pacify them. We will avoid the situation or the circumstances. However, when there's an internal conflict, it's not easy to do that because it's within ourselves. Now, we all have internal conflict at different times of our lives. Pretty much every day I will have internal conflict about something. Normally it's small. Do I want a sandwich for my lunch or do I want some chips? Do I want to go to bed early or do I want to stay up and watch the TV programme even though I'm really tired? Normally they are little and manageable and they don't really have a lasting impact. However, sometimes those conflicts can be bigger. Sometimes we can experience something within ourselves that causes us to sabotage our plans. There might be something that we want to achieve, a goal that we've set ourselves, something that we desire. But no matter how much we tell ourselves we want to achieve that, something's always holding us back.
Can we come through?
Come on in!
Yeah, we don't even understand. We've got a sound bath therapy office. What? We're looking at your talk.
That's fine. Come on in. Come and have a seat.
Sorry.
That's all right. So when we have this sabotage, it's often because there is something going on within us that there are two different opposing points of view, or possibly even more. We are complex beings. We have one mind, but that mind is responsible for everything we do. It's responsible for every thought, every feeling, every experience that we have. And what the mind basically does is it protects us. Our mind is there to help keep us safe and to help us get the things we like and enjoy. Doesn't always go to plan. Sometimes there's part of ourselves that knows that we need to do something else, to be something else, to feel something else. But then it might feel like there's another part of us that's just restricting that from taking place. Some people are very consciously aware of it. For others, it goes on under the surface. And you can tend to identify those inner conflicts within yourself when you hear yourself saying something like, I want to do this, but. But is a really profound word in helping us to recognise those barriers. Or, a part of me wants to do this, but another part of me wants to do that. You might find it, say, when you want to go on a diet. Part of me really wants to get healthy and eat the healthy salad and exercise, but another part of me just wants to sit and eat the chocolate cake. Now, it's when those conflicts start to become an issue and they start to affect our relationship with ourselves or others, they then need addressing. And those internal conflicts can manifest in different ways. Sometimes it's internalized aggression and anger. There can be parts of us that at some point in our lives didn't have our needs met or fulfilled. It might be that when we were a child, we had a parent that just couldn't tolerate us feeling angry. So we learnt to suppress ourselves. It could be that there's some sort of trauma that's happened to us and we weren't protected adequately. And as a result, we feel angry at the world or our caregivers. And if that part isn't cared for and nurtured, it tends to become separate from the rest of self. Often that part is classed as an inner child. A part of us which is younger, but at some point hasn't got its needs met and fulfilled, and it almost gets suspended in time at the age it was at. Other times, behaviour might be expressed differently. So in terms of internal anger, that might be that you then start to harm yourself, to say negative things to yourself. Other times, however, it could be expressed more externally. You may end up age regressing. So even though, for example, you're a 40-year-old adult, you've got a professional business, you're married, your life's very successful, all of a sudden you experience a stressor or a conflict, and you're screaming and shouting and ranting and raving or crying hysterically. That's probably because there's a part of you that learnt that was the way to deal with it safely when you were younger. A part of you learnt that that was how you were going to get your needs met and fulfilled. So sometimes we will age regress. We then get other parts of us that tend to have that self-doubt, that shame, that guilt, feeling that you're not good enough. So even though part of you wants to go and make a huge difference to yourself or the life that you live, there's something always telling you you're not good enough, you're not going to succeed, you don't deserve it. And these parts all interact and intermingle within our minds. Sometimes it's an inner child. Other parts, however, might take on a different role. They might take on a more managerial role. So they're the types that help people to function. Perhaps there's a part of you that helps you to get organised. There's another part of you that helps you to focus. There's a part of you that helps you with your concentration. And normally they work as a team. However, sometimes one of those parts that's managing may become overbearing. It can go from healthy to unhealthy. So one example of that might be perfectionism. A healthy manager would want to support you to succeeding. An unhealthy manager might drive you to achieve and achieve and achieve and it never be good enough. So you end up overworking yourself and end up burnt out. So what my role is to interact with those different parts so that we can integrate the whole. So we can bring the mind back together to work supportively and coherently to help us achieve our goals. So when a client comes to see me, what happens is we have a chat. We find out what's going on and we get to work. And part of that work to ensure the success is to find out if any of the parts within their mind have got a conflict, if they've got different needs and agendas. So for example, if somebody came to me for weight loss, the part of them that is really motivated to lose weight is the part that's come to see me. They know they want to lose weight, they know they want to be healthy and have a different lifestyle. However, there may be another part of them that is sabotaging that and stopping it from happening. So I will talk to that part and find out what's going on. bearing in mind that all the different parts are trying to do what's best for that person. They're trying to either keep them safe or to provide them with something positive. So for in that example, the part that's keeping the weight perhaps maybe feels like the weight is a protective mechanism around them, that maybe they won't get noticed the same if they're holding on to the weight. And once I've established with those different parts, and it can be one or two parts in conflict, or it can be many, my job is then to get them to work together. So when I'm doing parts therapy, I will often do it under hypnosis. I will get the person nice and relaxed, and I will explain to them that all parts of your mind are there to help you. And I know that all parts of your mind are doing the best job that they know how to do with the skills and roles and knowledge that they've been given. However, sometimes these parts may be in conflict. I'm going to call forward different parts. All that I ask is that the other parts of the mind listen, and you will each get your turn to speak. And then one at a time, I call them forwards. And I see it a little bit like, I used to be a primary school teacher, and we used to do this activity with the children each week called SEAL, and it was all about expressing emotions. So they would sit in their circle, and the rule of that circle was when they were holding the special stone, it was their turn to talk and share what they had to say. The other children would listen, and then when the person had finished, they would get their opportunity to respond. It's very much the same with this. So I'm helping to facilitate a process. I also see it sometimes being in a bit like a board meeting. If you had a business where there was lots of people working on lots of different roles, one person in that company might have a great idea, but unless everyone else gets involved and on board, it's probably never going to become reality. So that's exactly what I do. I talk to each different part in turn, find out what it wants, what it needs. When did its role get set up? If, for example, that part is a small child, a toddler, and they knew that they would only get attention by screaming and shouting and crying, I know all of a sudden that part is wanting attention. So what we would then do is support that part to find a new, more helpful way to gain that attention that's going to help the person as the adult that they are now. If it is a child, what we may also need to do is provide nurture. So sometimes there's one inner child, sometimes there may be multiple inner children that are at different ages where traumas and difficulties have happened. So for those parts, I would ask a more experienced part or the individual as their adult self to come in and give that inner child the nurture, the support, the comfort it needs, to let it know exactly what it needs to hear and to feel better. And that could be really empowering from taking somebody from being stuck in a point in time, because it's almost like they've become frozen, that part's become frozen, is on that continuous loop, so that they can transition and move forwards and live more harmoniously now. I love doing part therapy, it's fascinating. I have to keep notes as I'm going along, because sometimes some people's parts can be quite extravagant and flamboyant, and some parts, most of the time people, they sort of cooperate, but occasionally there's some real conflict between different parts. I had a lady that came to work with me years ago, and she had two very distinct personas in her day life. So in business, she was a high up business executive. She ran an international company. She had to make those decisions. She had to be very authoritarian. In her home life, she was meek and mild. She was quite subservient to her husband. Her children took advantage of her, and it was one extreme to the other. So we used parts therapy to work out what was going on. So initially, we pulled out the part of her that was responsible in that big CEO role. And she was vicious. She was really rude to me. How dare you speak to me? I'm busy. I've got more things that I need to do. Oh, I don't want to talk to that part. It's a waste of space. It's useless. It may as well not even be here. So how am I going to get around this? This lady's very confrontational. And I sort of imagine little pictures of what they might look like in my head to help me keep focus, because my client is one person sat in front of me, but then I could be speaking to 9 or 10 different parts, each with their own agendas. So then came forward the meek and mild one. She spoke softly. She was really quiet. Now, these aren't separate personalities, by the way. This is the same individual, the healthy mind. It's just that we all have these different parts. And we had a back and forth for a long time until eventually I persuaded the CEO that some of that softer side may be beneficial within her work. Sometimes she may get better out of the people she was employing if she took on that more gentle approach. Likewise, it would be really helpful if she could, instead of bashing and making the other part feel small and pathetic, instead if she could build up her esteem and help that lady to occasionally stand up for herself, life would become much more balanced. And as soon as we got them to agree, that lady's life transformed. It meant that she could be more positively assertive in the home and get her needs met. It's just little things, like she wanted to buy some curtains that she liked and she didn't dare ask for them. And in her work relationships and dynamics improved. So it's fascinating working with these different roles, and it's amazing the different things that go on in people's minds. Now, you don't always need to do that work with hypnotherapy. It's something that you can even work on yourself. So some of the things you can do if you identify that there are parts in conflict is you may like to get a big piece of paper and you may like to just sit and think, okay, what's the part that wants a change? Ask it, what does it want? What does it need? What's stopping it achieving that? And what's going to happen when it achieves it? You get an overview. And the key question tends to be, what's stopping you achieving that? They might say confidence. So you can then get on the other bit of paper or separate, write confidence. Okay, speaking to that part that's responsible for my confidence, what does my confidence want? What does my confidence need? What's stopping me from achieving that level of confidence? And how would it benefit me if I had that confidence? And by bringing it into the conscious, you can then start to find links and compromises. That's one way of doing it. Sometimes it is easier to come to a professional like myself so that there's that mediator there to look at things from a different perspective. Another way that you can do it is something called the empty chair approach. And this is part of Gestalt therapy. And what happens with that is you get two chairs across from each other. You sit in one chair and you say and express how you feel. Now, this works really well if some of the parts in your mind have taken on the roles of family members. So, for example, I had one lady that came to work with me a few years ago who always used to berate herself, belittle herself, tell her that she was stupid. And I simply asked her, and whose voice do you hear it in? The light bulb went on. It's not my voice, it's my dad's voice. My dad used to tell me that all the time when I was little. My dad's been dead for over 20 years. And yet I'm still letting him tell me how rubbish I am every single day. As soon as we realised that, we could then work with that part to give it a new, more helpful role so that it no longer even sounded like her dad. So particularly if you've got a conflict with a family member or a friend or something that plays out in your head, one of my friends described it a bit like, in her mind, it's a bit like Jeremy Kyle. She's got all of these different people arguing and squabbling. So what you do with the empty chair approach is you sit in the chair first and you express how you feel. So perhaps you as an adult feel like, Mum, you never listen to me. You really hurt me. You always ignore me. You always put other people first. You express yourself. You then stand up and go and sit in the other chair. And from the other chair, you get yourself into that other part or that other persona and you respond. And it's a really good way of extracting and exploring those different parts within your mind to help them find resolution. Now, it doesn't have to be a family member. It could be the part of you that wants to stop smoking, the part of you that wants to keep smoking, the part of you that wants to stop being angry, the part of you that wants to keep the anger. But it's remembering to be very compassionate with yourself. It's remembering to be kind to yourself. All those parts are there to help you. They're there to support you in some way. It's just perhaps they're not doing it in the most effective way. So it's working with the parts to think, okay, how can we achieve your objective and your goal whilst we do it in a healthy way for me now as an adult so that I can achieve? And once that happens, change tends to occur very quickly. So sometimes I have other therapists will refer clients on to me. I tend to have a bit of a reputation for dealing with the bizarre and complex. So I tend to get lots of people sent my way that other people have got to a point where they don't know where else to go with them. And it's often, it's not a resistant client. It's often just there's massive secondary gains. There's massive hidden benefits to them keeping the behaviours or feelings that they're trying to overcome. So as soon as we work out what that is, we can do something to change it. And whenever I've done any part-based work, what I like to do at the end is just ask, are there any other parts of the mind that want to come forward today? Normally you get a no. Occasionally you get someone saying, I do! And you're like, well, who are you? What part do you represent? Are all parts of the mind in agreement with what we've decided upon today? Because hopefully you've come to a resolution. Hopefully it's a yes. If not, then you need to find out what part or parts are still in conflict. And then I ask them all to come together at the end. So I'd like all parts of the mind now to come together, each part with their own roles, functions, and experiences, but all parts now working harmoniously to allow the client to achieve the objectives that they wish to achieve. So that is a little overview of parts therapy. Other things that you can do is you can simply talk to yourself in your mind. You might also like to draw pictures. Sometimes I'll draw pictures of the different parts and I'll give them a character and then I can see exactly what it is they want and need. So an example of how I use this on myself a few years ago was when my students were training with me, my first hypnotherapy students, and one of them was ill. So I said, oh, I'll step in. I'm quite like this. And I had a part of me, I decided I wanted to explore my aversion to cleaning. I will do anything to avoid cleaning, or I would. So we spoke to the part that wanted to clean and tidy the house, and I saw them like blobs in my head, and it was minuscule, it was really, really tiny, but what it was squashed between was two other parts. One part that wanted to have fun, and one part that found other things more interesting. And because they took up such a vast amount of my energy, that part that wanted to clean and tidy was just squashed. So all we needed to do was come to a compromise between those different parts, just for them to give that part a little bit of room, recognising in the long term it would help me to have more fun and more interest and enjoyment because I wouldn't be in a cluttered environment. We also spoke to the part that enjoyed having fun, that if it could take on the new extra role of making me enjoy cleaning, and it worked. So I still wouldn't choose it as my first activity, but I am willing to do it now. And for everybody else in my household, they're very grateful for that. So we can do this with anything. It can be big life-changing things, or it can be small things that are just going to help us have a better life, to make a positive difference with our day. So I'm going to hand it over to you now. Has anybody got any questions or anything else they'd like to know? Can any of you think to those times? You don't need to tell it out loud, but where you've had those conflicts, where part of you has wanted to do one thing, but then another part of you has wanted to do something else. Or perhaps you've stopped yourself doing something you've wanted to because there's been that internal doubt. Yeah. It's something that we all have to different extents. And I think the more we can bring the different parts of our mind together harmoniously, the better life we have, the more we're able to achieve. And the more congruent we are with who we want to be, then that means we live our lives to the highest and fullest. Yeah. So thank you ever so much for coming to listen to me. I really appreciate it. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Hello.
Sorry, are these your cards?
They are my cards, yeah.
I was just saying to my friend, I've just started a CBH course.
All right.
So it's all very, very new, so I'm just kind of looking at everything, information everywhere at the minute and get my head stuck in the books a bit.
Oh, that's great. Are you enjoying it so far?
Well, I've literally started last week.
Wow, so it's really, really brand new.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I've literally just covered a bit of self-hypnosis at the moment, a little bit of pre-course reading that I've done, but...
Yeah, oh, so
I'm excited and scared. It's that excited, scared thing.